You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Again, my name is Chad, one of the pastors here at ICS Church. Thank you for joining us today, this Sunday here, right on the stream. We're currently doing a series called Unstoppable Force, and the title for today's message is Power to Change. Power to Change. How many of you guys know somebody that will never change? You know, the personality, their attitude, you've known them since you were young or they were young, and they haven't changed. Now they're an adult, they're grown up, and it's like, man, I don't think these people will ever change. How many of you guys are married to somebody like that right now? Just kidding. All right. We want to maintain peace at home. You know, we know people like this. We know people in our workplace. We know people in our family, right? We got relatives, maybe a brother, an aunt or uncle who's like, man, that attitude that they've had has been like that forever, and it's never going to change. It's good if it's a fun attitude, but what if it's the worst kind of behavior, the worst kind of attitude? And it seems as the years pile on, their attitudes and behavior just becomes worse and worse. And they get into trouble for it, you know, even with the law. And, you know, you begin to think to yourself, man, this person is hopeless. It's a difficult situation. I don't think there's ever going to ever be a change that will come. I mean, today, whenever you turn on the television or watch the news, it's really discouraging because a lot of it is bad. And every now and then, you would hear about murder here, murder there, people doing bad things to other human beings. And we don't understand why they would do that. There is definitely not a lot of compassion for people who behave that way. Sometimes even if they're part of our family, it's very hard, very difficult, especially if it has been years on years, piling up with bad behavior, wrong decisions, causing hurt and destruction in relationships all around. It's very hard. And to think if they ever will change, if that's ever going to come, you know, some people start to see that possibility fading over time. But the beauty about all of these things is that from the time Jesus came here on earth, called disciples to follow him, launched the church after he ascended into heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit, the church has been experiencing life change for the better. There have been people who are getting to know Jesus, following Jesus, and because of this, their lives have turned around, and as a result of that, they have continued to encourage other people and inspire other people to do the same. That's the vision that we have here at ICS Church. Our vision is to inspire people to follow Jesus and experience life change. We believe that a changed life as you follow Jesus will be one that will be for the better, not for the worse. And that's what we found in Scripture. That's what we found over time. And so if you're that person, you feel like, you know what? I'm actually that guy. I'm that woman that will never change. I've done so many things that's wrong, and I don't, man, people have lost hope in me. I'm beginning to think that I actually will not have hope as well. I don't have the capacity to change. You may know of somebody, or you may that maybe that person. Hey, I want to encourage you just to tune in. Just listen in for the next couple of minutes. Because, hey, I want to encourage you today that God has a better way and a better plan for you if you will just trust him today. Here's a big thought I want us to think about. Obeying God in difficult situations, difficult circumstances, even among difficult people, releases his power that brings transformation. It doesn't matter how tough the situation is, how difficult the person is. If we will trust God, if we will follow him, this will release his power to change us and to change the trajectory of our life and the life of even that person that you know that's along your path. So we're going to go to the book of Acts. Throughout this series, we've been tracking with Dr. Luke, the early life of the church as it started. And today we're going to go to the book of Acts to look at one of the lives that actually has been impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we begin in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says here, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." Now let's talk about Saul. Who is this guy? If you've never heard about him, this guy is an infamous individual at the birth of the early church. A chapter earlier, we are introduced to him for the very first time. And there's not a lot that he's doing right there, but it says at the event of the first martyrdom of one of the Christians, his name was Stephen, he was killed. Saul was there watching on, giving approval. In fact, those that were stoning Stephen to death laid their cloaks, their clothes to Paul. He was taking care of them, and he was just there giving approval to what was going on. So we could tell that this guy is not a great individual, especially when it comes to those who were followers of Jesus Christ. You know, Luke here says that he is going about persecuting those who were followers of the way. That is what they called followers of Jesus before they started calling them Christians in the city of Antioch. So here, because Jesus would often teach that he is the way, the truth, and the life, his disciples would often tell others about him. They were also known as people of the way. So that's what Paul was about to do. He was about to leave Jerusalem to go to Damascus, and he was saying, "Hey, can you give me a letter to go to the synagogues there so that they would give me support? The Jews in that city would support me in persecuting followers of the way, followers of Jesus." Jesus had already ascended into heaven. He was no longer physically present, but his disciples who witnessed his resurrection and thousands of others who were starting to put their faith and trust in him. Paul was persecuting. And Paul was doing this because he thought he was actually doing Judaism a favor. He was a devout Jew, a follower of Judaism, a practitioner of the Judaistic religion. And here, he was thinking, these guys are impure because they're trying to taint it with this new kinds of teaching. What he thought he was doing was actually right. So here he was now on the way to another city, Damascus, to capture men, women, and whoever else that was a follower of the way, to throw them into jail and maybe even to see some of them get killed. Not a great background. So this is what he does next. In verse 3, he says, As he neared Damascus, on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now, Jesus is no longer physically on earth at this point. This is a supernatural encounter with Jesus himself. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do," Jesus speaking. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. Saul had become totally blind. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now, at this point, if you were a follower of Jesus and a Christian and you heard that this just happened to Paul, you're probably saying to yourself, good for him. He's getting what he deserves, right? He's been persecuting Christians. He's been, you know, killing, doing a campaign of search and destroy for all of Jesus' followers. Good for him. He's getting what he deserves. Now, we have to be careful. If you're a Jesus follower, if you're a Christian today, you know, sometimes we think to ourselves, bad things happening to bad people. Hey, that's God's judgment on them. We have to be careful, because that's not always the judgment of God over them. This particular situation, it was actually Jesus. Yes, he was the one that caused Paul to be blind, but we're going to be surprised because he actually has different intentions. It's not to kill Paul, but it's to do something else. So the next time you see something bad happen to somebody who's bad, yep, there are days when it's a consequence, right? A cause and effect. They did something wrong, they suffer the consequences. There are times when that will happen. But there are also times when, you know, things bad will just happen to us. Sometimes you can also be good and bad things will happen to you. Don't be quick to judge. Don't be quick to say, you know, you're getting what you deserve because you did something bad. One thing we can understand, though, from this situation is that God is at work where we do not see. I'm sure no one in the first century, no one in Jerusalem after Stephen was murdered were thinking that, oh, I wish Paul would come to know Jesus. I'm sure at that point they were saying, man, let's get away from this guy. Let's get as far away from him as possible because he is only bad news. If Paul is coming near you to your town, it's only bad news. He's there to search and destroy Jesus' followers. But we never know what God's going to do. In fact, we're going to find out right now. Here in verse 10, it says here, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man named Saul. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Now let's clarify some things right here. This is not the Judas of the 12 disciples. It's not Judas Iscariot. It's not the other Judas that was a follower of Jesus. It's a popular name back in the first century. So this is another guy in Damascus who was a follower of Jesus. It says your soul is there praying. Saul is there praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. All right, now we already know Saul's reputation, but it's obvious that God, again, like what we said earlier, has been working in the life of Saul. Ananias has no idea. And so God reveals to Ananias in a vision, I'm actually at work in his life. Now, I don't know about you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you receive a direct revelation, a vision from God. We get excited, right? Maybe some of you dreamt last night and you know for a fact that this is a dream that God gave. We're excited about that. But sometimes we're not excited about what the dream or the vision actually means for us. And so Ananias, thinking about this vision that God is telling him, replies to the Lord. He says in verse 13, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. He has come here with authority from the chief priests. He's endorsed. People are covering him, all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles who are non-Jewish, Gentiles, and their kings, and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Man, this is crazy. This is crazy. Ananias is having a conversation with God. I know this man's reputation. You know, I'm thankful that you speak to me. I'm thankful for the vision. I'm thankful for the dreams. But this vision, maybe it's a wrong number, God. Are you sure this is the right message? Maybe you're confused. Don't you know that this man is a bad man? God, don't you know that this man only means harm to those who follow you? And now you're wanting me to do what? I'm sorry, can you repeat that again? God, I don't think I got you the first time. You know, sometimes the instructions that God gives us is not in alignment with what he desires for us. Second observation, sometimes doing what God wants us to do may not be what we want to do. There are times when God will instruct us to do something and it just doesn't make any sense. It's so far away from the things that we think should be done that we're finding it difficult to actually just obey it. That's what's happening with Ananias right here. And one reason for that is he doesn't know that God has already at work in Paul's life. But God told him, hey, Paul was praying and I've spoken to him. Ananias, not convinced, argues with God a bit more. And sometimes we get into that situation, right? It's like, God, really, you want to save that friend, that relative? You really want me to show forgiveness to that person who did wrong? That man that I just saw in the news who did that wicked, despicable act? You're actually wanting me to pray for him? To visit him in jail? To offer salvation that you came to give? It doesn't make sense, especially if it's happening directly to us. It's difficult. It's tough. So if you try to look at what Ananias is going through, all of these things are happening in his mind, in his heart, and it just doesn't make sense. But you know, when we follow God, even in the most difficult circumstances, even in situations that do not make sense to us, but we know without a shadow of a doubt that that is God's direction, that is the Holy Spirit's instruction, that is Jesus' example that we are emulating and following, we're going to see things we would never imagine in our lifetime if we will obey. And so what does Ananias do? Does he follow God, or does he say, God, can you just reveal this vision to somebody else? But the fact of the matter is, the reason why we're reading about Ananias is because that's exactly what he did. In verse 17, then Ananias went to the house. He actually went to the house and entered it. He did what he was supposed to do. I don't know what he did before he left. Maybe he told his family, his friends, guys, you know what? I just got this really, really weird revelation from God, but I'm going to do it. So you know what? You may not see me tomorrow anymore. I may not come back after this trip because I'm about to visit somebody that's pretty dangerous. I'm about to go somewhere that, man, nobody in the right mind should probably go to. So he probably said his goodbyes, he said his farewells, then he went. So as he entered the house, he placed his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, that's nice, isn't it? You know, if you're somebody that's being threatened, it's always nice to call them a brother. Instead of saying, hey, enemy, because that's who he was. He was the enemy of those who were followers of Jesus. Instead, he acknowledges him and he says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road. So obviously God had given him an update on what has happened. As you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if this was the old Saul, Saul probably would have gotten a sword and sliced him in half. Saul probably would have done something to hurt Ananias. But immediately, something else took place. Verse 18 says, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. I don't know if Ananias was expecting this to happen or if he was expecting to die, right? Jesus, I'm just going to follow you. God, I'm just going to follow you. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to do it, all right? Here we go. I'm just going to follow what you told me to do. I'm going to say what you asked me to say, and he does it. Miracle of all miracles takes place. The blind soul regains his sight. Not just that, he is filled with the Spirit right there. And then, these are the amazing things that will happen when we obey Jesus, even though the circumstances that surrounding us may be difficult, even though the circumstances surrounding us may be tough, may go against our common sense at times and right way of thinking, but when we know that this is God's clear direction and purpose for us, when we follow Him, when we obey Him, even though it is difficult, God will do amazing things. God will do amazing things. Obedience to God and serving others unleashes God's power. That's what happens. This is exactly what happened right here. Ananias, we don't really know much about him. All we know is that, hey, he follows God. That's all that the text says. Maybe there's not been a single miracle that has taken place in his life, but one thing is clear. He is a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Regardless of the potential threat, regardless of what it may happen to him, he decides to obey God anyway, to trust God anyway, and does it. And because of this, he becomes a witness to a transformed life. A man with a reputation of a killer, of a persecutor of Christians, suddenly has a turnaround. So what happens next? One of the most amazing things happens. Saul decides to spend several days with the disciples in Damascus. Again, these are the other Christians who were there. I'm sure a lot of them were looking at Saul and thinking to themselves, is this the same guy? Wasn't he the one that was there who was witnessing the death of Stephen? Isn't he the same guy that has now come to our city? We've heard of his reputation. We've heard about the letters, how he came here to persecute us. And now he's here. He's eating with us. He's fellowshipping with us. He's talking about Jesus with us. After a few days of his supernatural miracle of encounter with Jesus, healing from blindness, fellowshipping with disciples, other believers, verse 20 says, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. You heard it right, synagogues. This is the gathering places of the Jews where they read from the Old Testament, the Mishnah. They talk about the Torah. It is here that they begin to talk about God. And it's the place where times and times before Jesus came and was nearly stoned to death, was nearly thrown over the cliff. This would be the places that Christians probably wouldn't go to talk about Jesus as the Son of God. Yet, that's exactly where Paul went. Very different from his initial intention, which was to gather and to round up Jesus followers, beat them up, persecute them, possibly even see some of them die and get thrown to jail. He's now doing what Jesus followers, what followers of the way are also doing. And what happens as he goes to the synagogue? All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the same man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name and hasn't come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest? What's going on here? Even those who were there are confused. Both Christ followers and non-believers are confused. What's happened to this guy? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Wow. Talk about a quick 180 life change. Talk about a quick turnaround. This is what happens. This is what happens when somebody encounters the presence of God in their life. This is what happens when somebody in the family of faith says, you know what? Despite of the potential threats to my own life, I'm going to go and offer a hand of fellowship to somebody that we're afraid of, to somebody that is different from us, to somebody that could possibly take even our own life. This is what happens when we say, hey, welcome home. Welcome to the family. You are part of this family too. Regardless of what you've done, despite of your background and everything else that has happened, no sin, no crime, man, if I could say that, is too great that God's grace will not be able to extend forgiveness, mercy, and love towards that person. This is what happened to Saul. And it began in the shadows. It began in the most unusual circumstances, you know, traveling from one town to the next town, a supernatural encounter. But I believe what really helped Saul was the extended fellowship and hand of other Christians that were there in the first century. If Ananias had not gone and ministered to Saul, how would he know the love of God for him? Ananias represented the people that he was going after, and yet here he comes, seeking him out, serving him, loving him, praying for him, so that God's presence would manifest in his life. We never know what the people who have bad attitudes and bad behaviors that we know of, that are surrounding us, even strangers that we watch in the news are going through. But you know, one thing is certain, Jesus loves every single one of us on this earth. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how evil your life has been and how evil the activities you have done. God loves you. Jesus pursues you. And He has a wonderful and amazing plan for your life if you would just trust Him. Those of us who are believers and followers of Jesus Christ, sometimes we can't fully understand why we would spend time, effort, even our own finances, to extend love to people that obviously don't really care about life, don't care about others, hate God, hate the people around them. Why should we spend, Chad, why should we spend time to pray for them, to check up on them, when even my own family has decided to turn their backs on them? The only reason we do this is because that's what Jesus did for us. While we were yet sinners, He chose to die for us. He chose to pursue us. He chose to love us. He chose to give up His life for us so that we can experience the love of the Heavenly Father. If we're true followers of Jesus Christ, that needs to be seen. That needs to be felt through our own life. Again, in this encounter, we need to remind ourselves that God is at work where we do not see. You never know what God is doing in the life of that relative that everybody has turned their backs on. Maybe we're the only ones that Jesus is waiting on, prodding, directing to extend grace, love, mercy, encouragement. That may be the only thing that's keeping them from finally turning around. You may be saying, well, I've done that so many times before. Well, will it hurt to do it one more day? What will it cost to do it one more time? Let's remember, Jesus gave everything to save us. As long as we're here, God has a purpose for us. We need to understand as well that sometimes doing what God wants us to do may not be what we want to do. We need to recognize this reality and truth that, yes, I'm not a follower of Jesus Christ, but not everything that I want to do will be in alignment with God's purpose for my life. And there will be times when He will instruct us specifically to do something that goes against what we want. But if it's in God's will, in God's purposes, to pursue the unlovable, to extend a hand of forgiveness to one who has hurt us, that may be the one thing that will shift the trajectory of their life and allow them to experience Jesus in their life. Obedience to God and serving others will always unleash the power of God. It could be the power to bring healing and salvation. Could be the power to bring restoration of what was once broken. If we will just do our part. Obeying God in difficult situations will always release His power that brings transformation. Paul would end up following Jesus. In fact, it's not just Ananias who would extend his hand of fellowship. Paul would go on to Jerusalem and try to meet with the disciples. But again, because of his reputation, just a few weeks ago, none of them were quick to believe that he really was. They thought it was a trick. Maybe you just want to know who the real Christians are so you can gather them, beat them up, kill them, or throw them in jail. But Barnabas, another believer, steps up and says, you know what? I can vouch for this guy. I've seen, I've heard, there was a genuine transformed life that has taken place. He really is a follower of Jesus. Barnabas extending another hand of fellowship, welcoming him, finally allows Paul to be grafted into the fellowship of the apostles and disciples. Paul would go on to go to the Gentiles, just like God said to Ananias, to speak to non-Jews, to speak even ultimately to those who were kings over the Roman Empire and witness about Jesus as Savior. Paul would go on to write many letters and start many churches in parts of the Middle East where there was none. All because he surrendered his life to Jesus, and through Ananias, through Barnabas, be grafted into fellowship. He would go on to be a spiritual father to Timothy, to Titus, and to many others who would become leaders and elders in the early church. The reason why we read about him today, the reason why we have the most letters in the New Testament by him, is because somebody took a step. Somebody decided to say, you know what? Despite the fact that I don't want to do this, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to obey God, and I'm going to leave the results up to him. You see, when God spoke to Ananias, he didn't tell him that what would happen in his life, in his encounter, would be good. All he said was, go minister. Go and minister. And some of us today, that's what God is wanting us to do. God has already brought into your memory, maybe even through this message, or maybe even before today, before the service started, an individual in your school, a friend in the office, a relative that everybody has turned their backs on because of their bad behavior, bad attitude, and nobody really cares for them. God is stirring you up. God is leading you to minister and to serve and to show his love towards them. Friend, you'll never go wrong when you obey Jesus' instruction. We'll never go wrong when we follow his example and we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Throughout this week, you're going to be encountering different situations. You're going to be having conversations that will cause you to react, to respond in a way that you know would be justified, but would not be God glorifying. Can I encourage you, before you respond, before you react to that situation, that you say, you know what, they're getting what they deserve, or you know what, nobody really cares for them, or I'll leave that to somebody else. If the Holy Spirit is prodding you, nudging you, can I encourage you, when that nudge comes, to obey it? All he may be wanting you to do is to pray for that person. When he drops that name, that individual, would you do that? Would you in faith come to God and believe that God will perform miracles that will transform that person's life? Some of you may need to take another step, and God is telling you, no, I want you actually to go beyond praying. I want you to call that person. I want you to visit that person. I want you to send help to this person that nobody cares for, that nobody really thinks about, that nobody invites, but God is dropping that name to you. Sometimes it could be a stranger that you see in social media, a stranger that you hear about in the news, a stranger that suddenly drops a message to you that you don't know about. Could I ask you, before you dismiss it, to pause and pray? Pause and pray. And ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the next step. Because sometimes that's all it takes. Us trusting God, doing what we don't want to do, but we know God wants us to do, taking that next step of action to see God's power unleashed and a life transformed. That's why we're still here, and that's the reason why Jesus came. He came to seek, to save the lost. You are that. Some of you this week need to invite somebody to join you to Alpha. Don't go there on your own. If we've found a good thing, and that good thing is Jesus Christ, let's share him with others. Maybe some of you need to share the streams that are coming out of ICS Church. Sometimes that's all that God is wanting us to do. And it doesn't make sense. And it will not make sense, because that person's not a Christian. He has a different religion. But you never know what God is already doing in the background. And all he's wanting to do is to lead us to welcome that person in to the family. If you're that individual right now and you're saying, you know what, that's me. I'm actually one of those people that don't know Jesus. I'm actually one of those person who's like Paul. I don't think, nobody can forgive me. Nobody invites me. Nobody connects with me. Nobody messages me. all of my family members, don't even check upon me anymore. Can I tell you right now that God is in the room right now? That here in this church, we love you. And you say, you don't even know me. That's right. But I want to tell you, we love you. There's somebody in the chat room that is waiting to talk to you, to hear from you. And the reason we love you is because we know Jesus loves us, and we know that Jesus loves you. And that's the reason why he saved us, so that you would know that he loves you too. I want to encourage you to connect with somebody in the chat right now, so that you can know, you can experience the love of God that he has for you. And you say, how can that even happen? I've done so many wrong things. I've made so many wrong decisions. How can this God ever forgive me? His grace is so immense. It's so big. His love is so deep that we cannot even imagine. We cannot even imagine how, but he does erase every sin like it never happened. Because he loves us. He wants to pursue that relationship with you. If you want that for yourself right now, would you pray with me? Would you talk to him in this prayer and invite him? Because that's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants to lead you to a better life. If that's what you want, pray with me right now, this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that despite of myself, you chose to live a perfect sinless life, to die for me. It should have been me paying for my sin on the cross, but you took it upon yourself, both for past, present, and future, that today, as I trust in what you have done, your goodness and your righteousness will be sufficient for my loving Heavenly Father to restore me in a right relationship with him. Today, I'm choosing to trust in you, Jesus. Forgive me of all my wrongdoings. And as you promise, you are faithful, you are just, and you will cleanse and remove all unrighteousness without a hint. I receive that in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. If you pray that prayer, all heaven's rejoicing, and we rejoice with you today. We rejoice with you today. That is the reason why Jesus came. He came for you. Your life will never be the same again. It will never be the same again. I want you to do one more thing. I'm not inviting you to be a member of this church, but I do want you to grow in your faith in the Lord. So here's what I want you to do. If you made that decision today, type new in the chat. Say new. I made that decision today. I follow Jesus today. I follow Jesus. Just type it in the chat. If you don't want to do that, you can send a message to us, because we want to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. That's all we want to do. You don't have to be a member of this church, but we want you to grow in your faith with God. Those of us who are followers of Jesus right now, some of us are being led right now in this message. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is strong, and he's already wanting some of you to respond to it. You're hesitating. We're going to pray together that God would grant us boldness right now. Lord Jesus, we come to you in faith. Lord God, right now, those who are listening in that room, in that home, you are setting apart. There are some of you right now that God has been calling out to be missionaries. God has been calling you out to go to hard places, to go to difficult places, and it may mean your life being surrendered fully to him. I want to encourage you right now, this message is for you. God is saying today is the day that you decide. Today is the day that you say, yes, Lord. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the result, I choose to obey you. Know that God has already gone before you. Know that your life is in his hands. Know that his family, your family, God will take care of as you walk in obedience to him. You don't have to worry about that. What you need to do is to obey what God has instructed you to do. If that's you, I want to encourage you to take the next step and maybe talking to your circle leader and maybe talking to a pastor here at ICS Church and say, you know what, that's me. God is calling me to this country. God is calling me to this part of the Philippines, and I don't know what I need to do next, but what I know is that is his clear call over my life. For others of you, God is wanting you to extend that grace, that love, that mercy to that family member. Come on. That family member that you've ignored, that family member that so many have turned their backs on. Others of you, God is calling you to connect with that office mate that everybody's been gossiping about. And God is saying, you know what? You need to minister. You need to extend love. You need to invite that person to coffee. Because it is there as you serve, listen, and pour out love that I will shift that life around. I will transform. All we need to do is to extend, to take that next step. It's as simple as that. God, grant boldness right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit just to come and fill every room and every life. Lord God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that whatever doubts, whatever fears are present, whatever inhibitions are there, Lord God, and all of these things will begin to fade away as we see you, as we look upon you, as we take a step of faith in boldness and courage. Let courage rise up. Let boldness rise up, not because of who we are, but because of what you have done for us and because you have commissioned us to send love, to express grace, mercy to those surrounding us. And what we need to do is to obey you. So Lord God, help us to do that today and throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet in your homes where you are. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's ask him, come Lord and lead us. Come Lord and be exalted in my life today.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.